The Mystery of Providence by John Flavel. Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Banner of Truth. 2020. 257 pages. A brief book summary from Books at a Glance by Steve West. This book is part of the Banner of Truth's box set of Puritan classics. Flavel's original work was first published in 1678. Table of Contents. Introduction. Part 1, The Evidence of Providence. Part 2, Meditation on the Providence of God. Part 3, Application of the Doctrine of Providence. Summary. Part 1, The Evidence of Providence. All of our affairs are guided by a wise and careful providence. There is a general providence that governs all creatures and things, and a particular providence that guides the saints and church. God's people have often received mercies that go beyond natural causation. God performs miracles for them and restrains the wicked. God's people are spared evils and often blessed through natural instrumentation that goes beyond statistical probability. How is it that those bent on evil are so often knocked off course? How is it that those who do good or evil to the saints are blessed or cursed accordingly? All of these realities are exactly what Scripture says they will be. Providence and Scripture fully agree. There are far too many coincidences in the nick of time to be contingently accidental. Not only so, but these perfectly timed deliverances come on the wings of prayer, which proves an intentional link of cause and effect. The work of providence exquisitely shapes us in the womb. Every part and feature of our design is supernatural. Beyond the craftsmanship of our body, the faculties and worth of the soul is beyond measure. God kept us safe in the womb and brought us safely into the world, sparing us thousands of dangers. The time and place of our birth was determined by God, and we have much to thank him for in regards to his choice. When so many are born in pagan idolatry or hear of Islam from birth, thank God for being born to hear the gospel. There have been times when England was pagan, or when Protestants were executed. We are blessed with precious means of grace, and much cause of prejudice has been removed. Anyone with pious parents has had an extraordinary stream of blessing flowing to them, and anyone well-disciplined and taught has been able to avoid much corruption and pain. Many parents neglect the souls of their children, and many others discourage all signs of spiritual growth. Parents, none are so likely to be used for good or evil in the lives of your children than you yourselves. Children, if you have godly parents, obey them fully and thank God for them. Providence shines brightest in how it orders and brings about conversion. Scripture shows us numerous examples of how a seemingly small detail led to a person's conversion. Some have been converted through a chance reading of a line in a book. Others through a sermon where the preacher spoke a word that was totally unplanned. God configures our environment, including the people that we will be around. And in his plan, godly people cross our paths in incredible ways. Oftentimes, God has sent his servants to strange places on what seem to be strange errands, and the result is a conversion. Great and notorious sinners have been converted in the most remarkable of ways. As providence works wondrously and mysteriously to effect conversion, it continues to so work to lead us to perfection. In grace, God keeps bringing reminders to us of our sin and showing us our absolute need of Christ. Praise him for the amazing grace that planned out your salvation and led you to repentance and faith. God's gracious providence sets us in a calling and employment. Thank God if he kept you from an idle youth and prepared you for good work from the beginning. It is never good to be lazy and unengaged in honest work if you are able to work well. God can fit us for the calling that is lawful and most suitable for us. There are many that labor in sinful work, and it is a mercy to be spared from such. It is also a gift of grace to attain a station higher than you would expect. Scripture shows many individuals who were called out of menial work to the high privilege of being kings, prophets, and apostles. It is a mercy that God keeps our estates from ruin, and that he provides us employment to meet our needs. He knows what is best for us mentally, physically, and spiritually. There is a special work of providence that attends marriage and procreation. Prayer should attend marrying, and God needs to lead us to a person that we can love and be harmonious with. A spouse can be mightily used for our eternal good. To have children, comfort, and reconciliation when the family fabric is torn are all mercies for which to give God thanks. Although God can work it for good, a bad marriage is a sore trial. Record and remember the providences of God, and always praise him for them. Know the wisdom of God, that he gives us the provision that we actually need. Do not distrust God's providence, complain, worry, fail to pray, or murmur in discontent. One of the great works of providence is to preserve us from evil and falling into sin. Providence is often the dam that keeps evil from flooding over us. Sometimes we are sent good and timely counsel, and other times the instruments and means of evil doing are blocked. There are times when bodily sickness or infirmity are used to prevent a greater evil or temptation. Sometimes the saints are even spared evil by their removal in death. How thankful we should be, knowing that only God's grace and plan keeps us from falling into the evil our depraved hearts desire. Not only does God keep us safe from spiritual evil, he also protects our bodies and our lives. How many dangers there are in the world every day that we are shielded from. Whatever life and health we have is all from the hand of the Lord, and we owe it all to him. Since this is the case, we ought to live our entire lives for God, using body, mind, soul, and strength for him and for the cause of his kingdom. The great work of the mortification of sin is the work of God's providence. It is the Spirit who works in our inner person to make us holy, and providence disposes our external circumstances to help us grow. Providence is subordinated into the service of the Spirit's work. Basil had a headache and prayed for relief. When relief was given, he was plagued by lust and prayed for the headache to return. Without the Spirit and providence, we would be lost and destroyed by sin. But with them, we are purified and refined. When we love a creature inordinately, God will purge us from this so that our affections are set on him. Providence often graciously blasts our pride to make us humble, and ruins our worldly business when our heart is set too much upon it. Sin reveals itself by the inordinate trust we put in material things, and God can remove them for our spiritual good. We should be amazed at how the thrice holy God cares for poor, sinful worms like us. Even the very best of saints is stained and deserving of hell in God's sight. As individuals, every believer should rejoice, and so should the church corporately when it considers the special providence of God on her behalf in history and today. Part 2. Meditation on the Providence of God. We should always meditate on the providence of God, especially in times of trouble or trial. God has commanded that we meditate on this doctrine. Whenever there was a signal mercy or judgment, Scripture called the people to think about God's sovereign plan, and it is a sin to neglect this duty. If we do not pay attention to providence, we will fail to praise God as we should, and fail to learn the lessons that we should. Saints learn from history, and saints order their prayers according to the lessons taught therein by God. There's much comfort and joy that is lost from failing to understand God's providence. Begin with reflecting on all of his care of you from the beginning of your life until now. Do not merely glance at what God has done, but consider it deeply. It is incredibly enriching to trace the finger of God as he has ordered our lives. Providence always aligns with the word of God, so see how the promises of God have been worked out and fulfilled in your own life's history. When we look, we see how righteousness is blessed and how sin brings ruin and destruction. In all that providence promises, threatens, and fulfills, we see Scripture confirmed. Saints know that when they are in trouble, God never forsakes them. Scripture time and again tells us how to live for the Lord and flee from wickedness, and the rewards and punishments it holds out have been confirmed by tens of thousands. When you reflect on providence, make sure that you acknowledge God as the author of all things. His grace, goodness, love, and wisdom are at work for you personally as his child. God is the great king, sovereign over all, yet also perfect in character. Under sore and afflictive providences, remember these truths about God's character and know that his wisdom is unfathomable. When we feel ourselves under the rod, know that God intends only our good, and our good is more important than our comfort and ease. Different works of providence are to call forth different emotions and responses. For example, praise, thankfulness, contrition, repentance. Even sad providences cannot take away our share in Christ or our joy in him. If you mortify your sense of self and consider how quickly this life passes, you will bear up. The inward bearing of the heart can be excellent even when external circumstances are hard. The unregenerate may curse providence, but they are receiving more mercy than they deserve. If they cannot bear up now, what will they do in hell? For believers, consider the weight of your sin that has been atoned for, and all of the spiritual blessings you have in Christ, and then complain about your lot if you can. Given God's grace, do not lose heart and do not grow weary in calling out to him. Yet know that his timing and ways are not our own, and his are perfect. Providence is above us, so do not speculate about it or stand in judgment over it. There are so many benefits that we would enjoy if we daily meditated upon God's providence. First, we would enjoy communion with him, and there is nothing sweeter. We will also find that we experience the fullness of proper responses to him, as is fitting. For example, contemplating providence should make us deeply humble as well as filled with love for God. Observing providence is a great source of joy and delight for believers. God's works are great and good, and knowing them restores our souls. It is the joy of saints and angels to see God's ends and purposes, and a tremendous encouragement and comfort to see God answer prayers. Our hearts incline to atheism and false religion, but meditating on providence destroys this disposition. It is through his works of providence that God makes himself known to the saints. God's compassion is sometimes seen in the deliverances he works for his people. Recording providences now will help sustain faith no matter what the future brings. Having been helped in times past, we have confidence for the future, knowing that God has the power to aid us, and also is willing to do so. We cannot doubt his mercy when we know we have experienced it, undeserving as we are. The result of such meditations is a heart filled with praise, since the root of such experiences is God's goodness and mercy. Think of the number and quality of the blessings grace has given you, and all that mercy has spared you from. Meditating on providence will make us love Christ more and more, and help us see how precious he is. All of our temporal and eternal blessings are purchased for us by the blood of Christ. Only by virtue of union with Christ are the works of providence sanctified to our hearts. Whatever good comes to you flows from your head and from his mediatorial intercession. Reflecting on providence will cause our hearts to melt before God and cause us to walk anew in submission to him. It melts our hearts to reflect on how good God has been to us and how little a sinner like us deserves. The more we meditate on providence, the more peace we will experience in the storms of life. When we face the rod, we know that it is for our spiritual good, and we know providence works to make us holy. God's rebukes show us our sin so that we learn to be afraid of sin and flee from it. When we come to the hour of our death, all of these meditations on providence will stand us in good stead. It is a great venture to cast ourselves on Christ in conversion, but another great act of trust to rest on him in death. Part 3. Application of the Doctrine of Providence. If, as we have seen, God performs all things for you, God is to be owned by you in all that befalls you in this world, whether it is in the way of success and comfort, or of trouble and affliction. If you ignore his hand in anything, you sin against him. Since he works for you, do your duty for him. Trust him no matter what troubles come, and dedicate yourself to him in prayer. Know that no instrumentality can succeed without him. In everything, make it your aim to please him. There is no need to be discouraged when the God of the church rules over everything. At times, people want to know how to discern the will of God in providence. We must not look for special or immediate revelation to us apart from Scripture. No matter what the events of our lives, sin will always be sin, and righteousness is righteousness. Providence will often seem to confirm Scripture, but know that it will never contradict it, no matter your sense of things. If something is not discussed explicitly in the Word, get the fear of God in your heart, search Scripture more, pray for illumination, and then follow providence as far as it will go. Wisdom knows that there are different seasons, and providence directs us to them in the right time. When God promises something, he will fulfill it no matter how many centuries elapse. There are times when we strongly desire something and see some signs that raise our hopes, but we must be careful when there is no sure word. God is tied to his timing rather than ours, and if we judge by ours, we will err. When there is delay, Satan attacks us to doubt and think hard thoughts of God. Why should God be suspected for failing to fulfill something for which there is no word of promise? All things will work together for good, but in this life we face many troubles. Sometimes it is our own sin that keeps blessings from coming to us speedily. Faint not, and in the end, experience will be sweeter for having patiently waited. Think of how much patience God has exercised toward you, and then ask yourself if you can wait patiently for him. Many may wonder if providence is working for their good or for their ruin, since God works all things together for good for his children, but works in all things for the ultimate ruin of the wicked. External circumstances are not a reliable guide to God's favor or disfavor. We can often see the intention of God's providence in the fruit that is produced, even if the harvest takes a long time to be gathered. For God's people, even sad providences are like medicine, which is for their good and will make them healthy. When things steal our hearts from God, God may remove them or cast them down. When affliction turns our hearts against sin but not against God, it is a good sign. Fires that purify and refine are a blessing. Providences that make us pray more and love God more come for that purpose. When we are under the rod, we are sometimes enabled to take the measure of our sins and graces. When comfort comes that does not come by prayer, makes people forget God, moves them toward lust, and causes them to be puffed up in pride, it is a judgment rather than a mercy. There is no doubt that the saints experience a providence that seems contrary by turns. Even in the best of souls, the changing vicissitudes of life can cause alarm and discomfort. Few can say with Paul that they know the secret of being content in any situation. Changes in providence often occur when our hearts are lifted up in pride, and we need to be humbled. If riches turn our hearts from God, he may take them away. Without providence's correction, we should all soon be undone. Anxiety accomplishes nothing good, and there is no need for it, since our loving Father is in control of everything. Apart from the Spirit, we will never be able to calmly submit and resign our will to God's. When we are resigned to God and act in faith, we can have a peaceful and composed spirit within us. Resignation is hard, so get a deep grasp on God's infinite wisdom compared to your little knowledge and folly. It is our own arrogance that makes resigning our wills such a difficult task. Shame yourself for quarreling with God. Failure to submit contradicts our prayers and our profession. We pray that God's will be done, and we entrust our eternal souls to God. So let us mean our prayers and not fight God over lesser things. The importance and utility of keeping a journal filled with God's providence cannot be stressed enough. It is a rich treasure for both the individual Christian and the church. Our own experience can help bolster our spirits and increase our trust in the Lord. Gratitude is shown and preserved through recording what God has done. Know that your memory will not be sufficient to contain even a fraction of what you can record in your journal about what the Lord has done. Copyright 2022, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.